Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle, we are with you for the next hour or so. And this show is really about pausing, looking back at spring a little bit more. We're going to get started here with just recruiting. The big buildup to Blue White, you get the one commitment from Caden Wallace out of it, which was good. But now we're really into another phase of recruiting going into late spring, into the summertime, of course, before the season begins. So we're just going to look at where Penn State stands with some things framed around some of the current events of the day, including Andre White, his surprise commitment to Texas A&M. We'll start with that. I also want to look back at the Blue-White game and some of the things that we saw on the field or in the box score, trying to figure out if those are legitimate things that factor into Penn State's 2018 plans or not. We know that the Blue-White game can offer these flashes that sometimes are legitimate, sometimes they're not. So we'll spend a little bit of time on offense. We'll spend a little bit of time on defense, and we'll wrap up the show with another Ask Greg segment where your Penn State football and recruiting questions are answered. As always, download the Keystone Sports app. You can send us questions that way using the Ask Greg button. Greg, let's start with recruiting here. And I just bottom line, just coming out of Blue White weekend, there was a lot more good vibes than there were real tangible commitments, obviously, and progress. But at the same time, I think that those vibes are in this climate with the new NCAA rules are a good thing. I think you just weren't going to get a whole run of commitments. It just wasn't going to happen.
I mean, I was bullish more than most on the fact that I thought Penn State would get two or three. The thing I didn't account for is the fact that when you look at the recruiting across the country at this point in time, the official visit window that now stretches between April and the end of June has changed everything. I mean, there's a ton of kids that would have been decided by now that instead of deciding, they're going to wait and take their official visits to maybe go see somewhere in the end of May or the start of June, etc., and then make a decision in July or August. So it's really slowed down everything, and I think it slowed down Penn State's commitment push on Saturday, or that put the Blue-White game too.
Yeah, which I think, you know, one of my questions for you was how, if we are in any position to know what's different, I think it spoke volumes that you had so many good guys there. I feel like that June, July, August window is going to be hot from now on because you're going to have guys who felt pretty good about who their top schools were. Take all those visits in the spring, have them paid for by the school, which you couldn't do before. And now you have all the information you should probably need before you get into, you know, the final descent into your preparations for your senior season or junior, whatever. I think that just before the season will be huge for a lot of teams. It's a big time anyway, but I think the way the calendar kind of funnels commitments to those summer months.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you used to have a lot of guys that wanted to do that anyway, right? A lot of guys that wanted to say, I'm going to decide before my senior year. Now you get guys that maybe, you know, would have been candidates to decide in the fall or in the early spring or late winter, and now they're going to wait until the summer or the fall. So, yeah, it's really just changed the way everything works. I think Penn State fans are a little bit frustrated. And look, it's not a totally excusable to have three commitments at this point in the cycle when you look across the country and some of the other schools out there, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama. I mean, those schools are having no issue with the new calendar and getting recruits. But, you know, Oklahoma has 11, Alabama 10, Texas A&M, Florida State 12 and 10 respectively, Clemson 11, Ohio State 9, you know, Michigan has 9. So
there's a lot of really good programs that have three or four.
Exactly.
Also.
Right.
So it's not it's not a knock on Penn State. It's just the way that things are shaking out for him. What about the board at linebacker? Now that Andre White, who I think Brandon Smith, the linebacker from Virginia, was the number one target on that board. But was Andre White number two on that board? He was high on the linebacker board and certainly a take if he wanted to commit. And a lot of people assumed it to be so, and he ended up committing to Texas A&M, which kind of moved the conversation to, okay, how long until he flips, whether it's Penn State or otherwise?
Yeah, so, I mean, I just was blown away by that commitment. Really, nothing catches you off guard in recruiting anymore. You usually can see most of this stuff coming with social media and everything else. Dustin, this one came out of left field. There was just simply no way around the fact that this was a commitment that no one saw coming, I don't think. So, for Penn State, they have to regroup now. Will they try and flip him? Will they even be able to flip him? Will there be any interest? I don't know. I think with Micah Parsons and Damian Barber on campus, there will always be a chance. But Penn State's going to have to look elsewhere. Owen Papapo, the Loganville, Georgia five-star linebacker, number one player in the country at his position, did visit campus for the Blue-White game on an official visit. What are Penn State's chances with him? I'm just going to go ahead and assume not very good. He's announcing soon, as a matter of fact. It looks like he will be pulling the trigger within the next couple of days. Georgia leads for him on the 247 Sports Crystal Ball. So, I mean, you're not really hoping for much there. Lance Dixon's another guy that's been a frequent visitor. He's from Michigan. He's a guy that Penn State's been high on for a long time. I think they probably lead for him at this point. The question becomes, will one of the other Michigan schools sort of sweep him up at the last second? So, then you got Brandon Smith. He's probably the top target on the board right now. Five-star inside outside linebacker. He's 6'4", 223, can run a little bit and play both. He's the number two linebacker in the country, number 28 overall. Not deciding until the fall, but if Penn State can land him, I think it can put a lot of its worries to rest on this front.
Yeah, it strikes me as a quality over quantity at the linebacker spot, where it could just be one, it could just be two players, but Penn State, I don't think needs a huge wave in terms of numbers, but I think if you get Brandon Smith, everything else is gravy, because he can be a really good player, impact linebacker at the next level. So we'll see about that. The positions that Penn State does need, I still stand by safety. I think the need there and the talent pool suggests that they should get at least one. They should probably get more than one. When you look at Lewis Cine, who's from Massachusetts originally, who's in Texas now, Marquise Wilson in Connecticut, and some other guys, Tyler Rudolph, the board shakes out pretty nicely for Penn State to get more than one safety here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Lewis Cine, I think, it's unfortunate, because Penn State was, I think, viewed by most as the runaway leader in that recruitment. Then he moves down to Texas, and Texas and Texas A&M get on the board, and all of a sudden, you know, Penn State has really next to no shot to get him. So Nick Cross is a guy to go, you know, you've mentioned a few of them, but Nick Cross from DeMatha, Maryland, four-star. I don't know if Penn State and him have really had a ton of contact, but I think the Lions will try and revamp things there soon. You look at Tyler Rudolph, you look at Marquise Wilson. Penn State feels very good about the opportunity to get both of those. And Jaquan Brisker from Lackawanna College is a guy that they've been recruiting for a long time, a three-star in the JUCO rank. So he's in play, too. I agree with you. I think that Penn State can always use depth at this position, and they seem to be in position in this class to get it.
Especially when I think they need it anyway, but especially when the safety pipeline can go both ways to linebacker, and you can have Penn State's been pretty clear most of the time it happens going from cornerback to safety.
Yeah.
But some of these athletic safeties have an opportunity maybe to play cornerback as well. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're doing a little reset on Penn State's 2019 recruiting board. Three commitments in tow. One of them, the most recent, was Caden Wallace, who is one of the top guards in the country. I thought it was interesting, Greg, that going back to 2014, since James Franklin got here, they've gotten exactly four offensive linemen in every class so far. So what's that, five classes? Exactly,
yeah.
Four. Never three, never five, four all the way. This seems like maybe it's a class that they break that trend, but I don't think it's coincidence that they settle on what they think is a sustainable number to keep that pipeline moving, especially the way that they recruit, where they do a pretty good job of identifying, okay, player A is an interior guy, could be guard, could be center. Player B is a swing player, and players C and D are true tackle types.
Right.
They seem to know what they're looking for. They have prototypes that they're looking for, and they've really stuck to it. There haven't really been a lot of highs and lows when it comes to recruiting over the years. I think the 2014 class was not good on the offensive line. But most of that was not really reversible once Franklin took the job, and he had only a few weeks to really get that job done. But looking at 15, 16, 17, 18, all those classes, they've been pretty consistent on offensive line recruiting. It just has taken a while for it to actually pay off on the field.
Yeah, and I think that's what gets frustrating, is that time is not something college football fans and observers really ever want to give or want to wait for. I mean, it's just difficult sometimes to, and especially too when you look around at other programs and you see schools really thriving and getting freshmen on the field early, and then Penn State has not had that kind of success. But anyway, to reset the board in general, Xavier Truss is the big tackle up in Rhode Island that we're keeping a very, very close eye on. When you look at the guard spot, getting Wallace in, I think he can do a little bit of both, so that's interesting. It depends where Penn State wants to build him for the future, and I think that, you know, they'll decide that once he gets on campus. Salim Worley, Ja'Kai Moore, the two guards that I think everyone has their sort of eyes on at this point, both three-star recruits. Neither strikes me as the kind of player that can come in and compete right away, but certainly in due time. And then Zeke Carroll as well, as a Cincinnati, Ohio interior lineman who really has developed well, and I think that, you know, he's a guy that they could be in hard charging after as well.
Speaking of looking for multiple players at the same spot, what about running backs, where it's going to be tricky, I think, to get two, but Penn State seems to be in the market for two of them.
Yeah.
Devin Ford is at the top of that board, but it seems to shake out. Okay, so Saquon Barkley, you obviously get a publicity jolt really over the past couple years for him, but especially now. But it also, I think if you're trying to pitch guys on playing early and being able to move up the depth chart pretty quickly, Penn State's depth chart at running back suggests that that's possible. And the 19 class is a good time to try and get a second back.
Yeah, 100% right, Dustin. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that for Penn State to really try and lock in here and get some depth back in that room, because you're going to lose Mark Allen. There's no saying Miles Sanders won't leave early after this season. I mean, granted, there's two ways of looking at that. One would be maybe he needs another year to prove himself, or maybe he has a really, really good year and keeps in mind that all this running back just don't last forever talk and decides that he needs to go.
Having
and go
not
now.
As much tread on your tires as an NFL draft prospect is a plus,
right.
not a minus.
So then you have what? Journey Brown and Ricky Slade, which that's fine, but it's not enough.
Neither of whom are a slam dunk to assume primary ball carrier duties.
Exactly.
Maybe they are. Maybe they prove that. But you could get a couple workhorse-type backs in the 19 class, and those guys could end up being really good complementary pieces.
Precisely.
The fact being, it's wide open, and Penn State has a shot to get a second running back.
Yep, absolutely right. I think they have a better shot than most think. It should be a good turnout for the Lions.
Devin Ford, as we mentioned, down to Virginia Tech and Penn State. Noah Kane, who's from IMG Academy. Penn State can get him back on campus again. They seem to be in pretty good shape there. All right, we're going to shift gears, looking at back at the blue-white, the spring game. And Penn State's just spring practices in general. Fact or fiction is coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.